Okay. This is 156. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12. Okay. That's about two-thirds. This is booked as, first of all, my website, in case you don't know, is www.pgrosser.net. So you should bring that up. And my email that you should use is p.grosser@rcn.com. CC to Grosser BK 1213@yahoo.com. Okay, so you're CCing to Grosser BK 1213@yahoo.com. Okay. I download RCN, I download to my hard drive and save on my hard drive, and it only retains for 20 days as a result. And so if I have a hard disk crash, even though I do sync, sometimes there's a problem. I haven't had one, but I'm anticipating, so I want you to CC that so that I have a copy out there if I need it. I will not look at Grosser BK, hopefully. I will only look at it if I have a catastrophe. So it's best to CC to that. Okay. Like all my courses, 80% is homework and quizzes and stuff that you do. 10% is the final. 10% is being a responsible human being. So if you pass everything in late, you're going to lose a bunch of the 10%. I don't take it off on individual assignments. We will be running help sessions Tuesday and Thursday at 2 and Friday at 10 for a while, and Jess is going to be there, or me, one or the other, and Jess knows Visual Basic, so she can help with Visual Basic. She's in PHP, so she can help in PHP. Less so, probably. Depends on where she stands. Although you said you took something in PHP before. So Jess or I will be there, and you're welcome to come for help. The biggest problem in passing my course is not doing homework. And people who don't get homework, since it's 80% of your grade, don't pass. So try to stay up. If you run into problems, let me know. Come to the help sessions, etc., and try to stay on top of things. And by the end of the class, I won't be talking. Okay. I have examples out there. As I was saying to somebody, we're now using 2012. 2010 luckily runs on 2012, so I didn't have to go in and change things. Somebody asked about 2013. We're not using that because the book was for 2012, and I stayed with the book. I don't know how many changes there are to 2013.
Not much.
Not much. Will it run in 2012?
Probably.
If somebody has one, bring it in and test it.
All of my assignments last semester were on 13. And were you able to open that?
Okay. Yeah, I must have been able to. I mean, I do have 13 on one of my machines, and I can't swear I didn't go there.
Okay.
But it's not my standard machine. In other words, I have to turn it on and all that good stuff to use it. So I like to be able to correct off my standard machine, and I have 12 on my standard machine. 10 and 12 seem to be very interchangeable. If you say 13 is, then that's fine. So that's the ones that I want you to use. Now, I still have some examples back in GBNet. And they still run, they just make you do some kind of resolution before they run. And I've got a lot of examples back there, and in fact, probably more examples back there. So periodically, I'm going to go and look at the VBNet ones. We'll open them in 12 and take a look at them. Just because I did something a little different in them, and I want to point that out. So the VBNet I will use, VB6 we won't use, but I keep it up there because, believe it or not, people are still sending me some questions about VB6. If you've taken the class, you tend to use this somewhat as a resource later on. Let's see. I record all the classes, and those will be under audio. And I take notes on the board, and those will be under SmartBoard. So if you miss a class, you can get the information from audio and SmartBoard. This is a hybrid class, but I'm running it like a student option. The reason it's a hybrid class is I'm going to be missing for a week in March when I get a new grandchild. So, and I take care of the child that's at home. So I made it a hybrid class so that I could disappear, pure and simple. Other than that, I will be here almost all the time. Occasionally, I may take a day. You, however, can take as many days as you want. You can take the class online, or you can take it as a mixture of coming to class when the class is held and the rest of the time online. So you can take it as a mixture, and as I said, I'm doing it more like student option, but I couldn't be a grandmother for a week if I did student option, so I did it as hybrid. Okay, and that will be the beginning of March. The babies do the beginning of March.
So the time you're not here, we're still able to use this area?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And in fact, I will probably ask that Jess be in here during those hours and can help. But yeah, no, but they're not going to take over the room. They're not going to even know that I'm gone, hardly. So they're not going to take over the room. So you can come in and still work. And the assignments will still go up. It will just be like you're an online student for that week. Okay. Or depending on where I am, it may be catch-up week, because I periodically tell you you can do some catch-up. Okay, I want you to read chapter 1 and 2 in the book. Chapter 1 is kind of a quick read, because it is, this is a computer kind of chapter. Chapter 2 is more I would read. Let's see.
And if we don't have the book yet?
Then don't read it yet.
Is there anything on the book that we need as far as work goes?
No.
No?
I don't know. I think I gave an assignment from the book, but not usually. And if I do, I can Xerox it. I don't tend to give assignments from the book. Now, I'm going to make a pitch for buying the book, and that is that I don't cover everything in the chapter. I don't have time to cover everything in the chapter. So I basically pick out the highlights, and that's what I go over. And this is really, I think, a pretty good book. So I would buy the book and read it just because I think it's a pretty good book. And there's a lot of extras in there that I'm not going to go over. Mainly, I just don't have time. Okay? So I pick what I think is the critical stuff, and we go over that. They also give good examples in the book, you know, hands-on leading you through the tutorial. I really think it's a pretty good book. Some classes I'm eh about the book, but this one I think is a fairly good book. I like Gaddis, who's the author of the book. So I want you to read chapters 1 and 2, and then we will get started on Visual Basic. Okay? So if you want to bring up and open Visual Studio 12. What just did I just click on?
Good idea to open it right when you get in.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
And I don't even know what I did, but I've got too much open. All right, I will be with you in a minute, but I have too much that is opened.
You got the premium?
Pardon me?
Yeah, premium.
Beth?
The start page comes up.
Do we still have the same James Parker account, or?
I think you get a different one, and I don't think they've been sent out yet. Okay, I'm actually going to open it again so that, okay. So you start out with a start page comes up, and you can get rid of that by just Xing it out. If you want to read all the neat stuff, you can read it, but you're going to X that out. Okay, properties don't appear to be here. So, view, properties window. Okay, so there's properties. So when you set this up, you want to have the Solution Explorer, properties, and the toolbox. And I don't know how yours came up, but if you're missing any one of those, you can go in under view and you can pick them. Like I was missing the properties window, so I went in and got it by just clicking on properties window there.
Into new project?
In a minute we are, yeah. And then toolbox, when I at home, toolbox is over on the side here. So I click on it, it comes up, and see that little button there? That little button you can click on to anchor it in place. Okay. So those are the things that you want to have. You want to have the Solution Explorer. You want to have the properties, and you want to have the text, the toolbox, okay? So now I'm going to open a file, new project, because I want to make a new project. So I go to file, new project, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is what I see. Now, interestingly enough, depending on what version you have, of if you get the Express version, okay, you can download the Express version from Microsoft or it comes in the back of your book. If you get DreamSpark, you can download the whole thing, okay? So when you get the DreamSpark invitation, you can do that. You may or may not see all three of these things down here, okay, depending on what version you've got. And you will see the where to save it. So you'll see the browse and the where to save it. But you may not see everything there. You see the name, but you may not see the browse, where to save it. If so, you just put in a name, and then when you go into the project, you do a quick save as, and I'll show you where that is, and then you can save it. But here, you can just come in and give it a name and choose where you want to put it, okay? So I'm going to say that I'm going to call this day, first day. Okay, so I'm going to call that first day. So I'm putting in the name first day, and I'm going to browse to find where I want to put it, and I'm going to put it on my flash drive. Okay, so I am selecting my flash drive. Okay, so I like to keep Create Directory for Solutions checked because that means that each program that I write will be in its own directory. Okay, so I keep that checked, Create Directory for Solution, so that it will make a directory for me to store in. Okay. What I want is that top thing here, Windows Form application. If you have the Express version, you probably won't see all of these different options. You'll only see some of them. But if you've got the full version, you see all of the different options. For example, you won't see the web stuff, I don't think, in the Explorer. At least you didn't use to in 11. In 10. I haven't checked. I forgot to look. I've got the Express version, but I forgot to look. And then if you have the Express version, you can download Web Developer, and that will have all of the things, the developers kind of thing. So you can download Web Developer to go with the Express version. But if you have the full version, Web Developer comes down in it with those ASP.NET things. And we'll be looking at ASP at the end of the course. So I've got to have Windows Form application. I need to give it a name, and I need to say G, or wherever you want to store it. So now I'm saying OK. And eventually it will actually tell you. Okay. So again, the toolbar, again, it was over at the side. If I click this off, it goes back over to the side. And then if I click on this and pin it, it comes in place. Okay, so I have my form there, and what we're doing in Visual Basic is we're working off the form. We're going to be making an interactive form, and we're going to be doing most everything off a form. Okay, so what I've got right now is the basics. It has set up my project called First Day, so there's the name that I gave it. And it has set up this form and called it Form 1. Okay? So I have my form there. Now, down below, I have all of these are objects. The form is an object. And I have down here all of the properties associated with that object. Now, the first thing I like to do is I like these in order by AZ. A to Z. If you notice, it's grouped by category. Okay, well, I'm terrible about finding folders in a filing cabinet because I can't figure out what category somebody stored it under. Same problem here. I can't figure out what category they decided to put it in. So I prefer clicking on that second thing in here, which is AZ, and that gets it in alphabetical order. Okay, I can handle that a lot better. But it's up to you which way you want to do it. It just lists the properties in that order. Okay, so one of the properties, and the one that always comes up, is this text. And that's the text property of it. And if I want to change that, notice that text is written at the top of the form. And so if I want to change that property, I can call it First Day form, or whatever I want to call it, and now that will show up as the new title. So the text for the form is the First Day. Okay, I can go back and I can change other things on this. Again, we're talking about beautifying, and I don't spend a lot of time on that. But if I want to change the background color, I can go find back color. I can click on that property, and I can click on web, and I can pick a color that I would like the background to be. So maybe I would like it to be papaya whip, or maybe I would like it to be antique white, or Navajo white, or blanched almond. I mean, somebody actually got paid to come up with these names. Yeah. Okay, so there, what did I got? Antique white. I'm not sure that's what I call antique white, but there it is. So I can change the background color if I want to. And I can also go in and change the four color, which would change the font. Okay? Now, if I change these for the form, then I am basically making the default for the font color. because I can also change the font color associated with all of the things that I put on the form. So if I want to, and I put 10 things on the form, I can make them 10 different colors. If I change the color here, then it's more of a default coloring kind of thing. So now I am going to go in and start adding things here. So I'm going to pick up a label. And I am going to highlight label. Notice I have common. These are the common things underneath it. Okay? And I've got those that I are showing. If they're not, if that, when I did this at home, it came up with the list of all of those titles, and I had to click on one of them to get the things. So it's common controls that I'm clicking on. So I can drag the label over and put it on the form. Okay, so now I've got the label over on the form, and because that's the active label, the properties over here are associated with that label. Okay, now, your book, interestingly enough, does not bother to change the name of things like labels if it's never going to refer to them in the code. Okay, I was brought up that you change the name of everything. So I guess I'm basically saying it's your call. But if I want to change the name of it, I come over here under Name, Label 1. And I go in and I can change that and call it LBL. And I'm going to call that Name, LBL Name. Now, there are standard things. You put a three-character beginning on these. So LBL stands for label, TXT stands for text, BTN stands for button, and you use those standard beginnings. Mm-hmm. And then you do it in camel case so that the next letter is going to be capitalized. That's the standard way of doing it. So the LBL is all lowercase, and then you capitalize the next letter. Will it work if you don't do it that way? Sure. But do you look like you know what you're doing? No. So you basically want to, kind of follow that convention. So this is my label, and when I click away from there, it's just changed the name of it. That's all it's done. Now, I want to change what goes in there. I go down to the text property. And I'm going to put in here NAME colon. So now I have name, and that is now going to replace label 1. Okay, so that is now in the label. So again, you don't have to change the name of the label. And in fact, why hasn't that changed? Huh. Okay. In my world, and I'm going to keep doing this because I'm used to 10 and I'm getting used to 12. I swear, since I changed the name here, that was supposed to change.
Mine did.
Yours did?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's nothing wrong with the version, it's just wrong with me. Okay, I can deal with that. All right, if I go, now it's back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it was because you just didn't click out of the selection.
Yeah, it must have been, but I thought I had done it. Usually, I'm either remembering wrong or I'm nuts, but I really thought that when I changed properties, that was enough so that it should have changed. But maybe I had to click all the way out, and now I'm going to go home and try 10 and find out if I'm, if I'm completely wacko. But anyway. All right, so now I'm going to click on text box, and I'm going to put a text box next to it. So basically what I've got here is I've got a label that tells the user what you want to put in that text box, and now I've got a text box where I'm going to get them to enter something. Now, the book definitely says, and they're right, that you should not keep calling it text box 1, because this is something you're going to use in your code. And it's very hard to remember what something is if you call it textbox 1, textbox 2, textbox 3, textbox 4. So you should change the name of this. So I'm going to call this TXT name. Now notice they don't put anything in, so I don't have to change the text. There is nothing by default put in there. It didn't say textbox 1. So I don't have to change the text. Earlier versions of VB used to put something in there, and then I had to change that. And you're right, I got to go out before it changes. I swear that didn't used to be true. But we'll see. So now I've got a name in there. So now I've got in here a label and a field that I can put data into. Okay, so now I am going to put up another, or I'll do a label button next. I'm going to put a button on. So I'm bringing over a button. And my button is going to be called BTN click, or what again, whatever I want to call it. But I'm calling it BTN click. Okay, so now I am going to come down, and this one I need to change the text because it says button 1. So I'm going down here and I'm going to say click here. Okay. So I've now got button 1, whoops, button click, and I have got click here on it. Okay. So now I am going to come down here and I am going to put in another text box. And I'm going to basically put a message in there, but I'm not going to put a label on it. I'm just going to call it text message. So I'm putting a message in there. Okay, so this is called text message. And again, I don't have to change the text in text boxes, because they were smart enough to figure out that they're not going to put, you don't want anything in the text box. If for any reason I wanted something in the text box, I could go down and put it in using the text property. Okay. Now again, all of these could have a background color. All of these could have a regular color. All of these could have a font change. So if I want to, I can come in here and go to font, and when I get to font, I can go in and say, okay, I would like to make it bold. And I would like to make it a little bit bigger, so I'll make it 12. Okay, and I'm going to click OK on that. And then if I want the color to be different, I can go into 4 color and choose web and choose dark red. And so now anything that goes into that box will be dark red. It will be a little bit bigger and it will be bold. Okay, so I've outlined what that box is going to look like. And I can do that with all of them. I just only did it with that one. So now I've got my form set up. So now I need to write my code. So I basically take the button, and this is what I want to happen. I want the user to run this program, and when they want to put in a name, get a message rather, I want them to click on click here. So I want them to put in a name. When they click on click here, I'm going to say hello and say their name. Okay? So this is the comparable to Hello World, okay? So I'm going to have click here, and it brings up the box. Not the box, the code. Okay, so this is what is happening within the class form one. And basically it lays out that this is going to be button click underscore click. It's going to be the click event associated. And it's the click event because I basically clicked on that button to get here. So it was new that I was talking about a click event. And that's the main event that I have on a button. There are, if you look up here at the top, you can see the word click. If I click on that, you can see a bunch of different other events that I could have there. Okay? There are enough events to sink a ship. We will only look at some of them. We will not look at every event under the sun. Thank you. Okay. So, it sets up the subroutine for me. And this subroutine is called button click underscore click. And it handles a click on button click. It handles when I, the click event. It handles when I click on button click. Basically, you don't know, you don't change this. You leave what they did, okay? If you know what you're doing, you can go in and make some changes to it. But we don't know what we're doing at this point, so leave it alone, okay? So inside here, I can now write the code that I want to be executed when I click on that button, okay? So I'm going to say that I want text message, and I want to change the text property. Text, not test, text. I want to change the text property, okay? So I wrote text message, which was the name of the big box that I put on the form, text message. Okay, so I want text message. Dot text, and meaning I want to change the text property of text message. Now, notice I stopped here and didn't keep going, so it's given me a squiggly blue line underneath, which tells me it's got a problem, because I can't just put the name of something there. I got to tell it what I want to do with it. Okay? Now, if you come up here, notice if I click under that, where it says general, notice you see the names of everything. So if I can't remember what I called something, I can either go back to the form or I can click right there and it shows me the names of all of the things that I came up with. Okay. And let me just save that and I will move on. Okay, so I want text my, thank you, text message dot text to be equal to, okay, now what do I want it to be equal to? I want to put in the literal hello, okay, so I want to put in the literal hello, so I'm enclosing the literal in quotes. And then I want to concatenate it, which is a plus. And I want to concatenate it with text. And notice as soon as I type text, it comes up with all of the names that are called that I could be using. Okay? Now, I find that annoying. You may find it helpful. I find it annoying because I'm not going to use that. It's easier for me to type than it is for me to take my hand off and move buttons around and everything like that. So I'm not going to, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. But I, yes, you're right. But I tend to just type, because once I'm typing, it's easier to stay typing. But you can do whatever you want to do. Okay? And as she said, if you hit tab, it brings it up. But again, that's not part of my typing stream. And then I put in .text. Because again, it's the text property that I want to impact. I don't want to impact the color. I don't want to impact the size. I want to impact the text property. Okay, so I've got these objects, and I put the objects on the form, and these objects have properties, and I have to tell it what property I'm interested in impacting or using. In this case, I want to take the text property of text message, concatenate it with hello, and put it in textmessage.text. Now, why did I leave a space after hello inside the quotes?
Because I put a space there.
Yeah, otherwise.
Right. Otherwise, it will be concatenated, which means
connected.
Yeah. So I can put that in, or I could have gone to concatenate with quote space quote, concatenate with, but that's kind of a waste of time. Okay, so now I can start the program. So I come up here, yeah.
I think you meant to put text name instead of text message.
You're absolutely right. So why didn't the rest of you catch that? Okay. Your job is to stay on top of what I do and correct it. Okay, so now I want textname.text. So now I am going to click on this sideways triangle, green triangle, and it is going to run. Okay. Now, ignore this little charming thing that comes up. This is because I'm working with SmartBoard. You won't, any of you won't see that, but for some reason I tend to get it periodically with SmartBoard. So I'm going to click in here, Jane, and then I'm going to click here, and it says, Hello, Jane. And notice Jane is in dark red, it's bold, and it's a bigger font because I set the properties for that box to say whatever goes in here should be dark red, bold, and bigger. Okay? So I set that, so that's what's in there now. Okay, did everybody get that going? Mm-hmm. Anybody? Yeah.
Pardon me? I got the hello, but just not the name. When I put the name, it doesn't ring.
Okay, you probably got the wrong
thing. I'm really seeing no difference between 2010 and 2012 Visual Studio. I'm seeing no difference.
And again, at the beginning, you should write TXT, not TXT. Yeah. And you listen to what I said and did it. Okay. Anybody else? Everybody else got it running? If you don't, ask him. Okay, I want you to take 10 or 15 minutes now and do one of your own. Just do it from scratch, just to make sure you can.
So
start from scratch, start a new project, do something as simplistic as what I did, or something more complicated. But take 10 or 15 minutes and start from scratch.
And then, not even.
Oh, and then drag. Oh, all right, four.
Well, you don't need it, but it wouldn't hurt, but then it would just leave a space in between the box. What's the problem?
She said do the same thing
for what? Do
the same thing or do
your own thing? Yeah, just do the same thing. Do your own thing.
The same thing.
Yeah, pretty much. It's pretty much the same.
The same thing with a twist.
Yeah, exactly. Vanilla and chocolate.
Pretty much. And I will say the problem with knowing Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
I love this.
Well, too bad the first 2 weeks I got this one, I haven't sent it back.
I've heard
it hasn't had a problem.
That's too ambitious. Flew too close to the sun.
And then you need to have the end class down below. Oh, form one, no space. And then the end class. And there it is. Right, so now for our design process, new text, should not be near.
Tried to do first and last name, but that was just a bad idea. I have all these subclasses now.
Yeah, just wipe them out.
Pretty much all of it?
Yeah. Well, no, not that top one, just from there. And then this one needs text1.txt. Because we need to tell it the text properly. Okay, so now it says tech one. Okay. Okay, so now we're going to have to work at this point.
Because I change.
Yeah, but did you call that text message? What's this? What's that?
Right. So we're going to send that.
Right. Hold on one second.
Sorry.
So let's see, we have
Alright, so
it's
text box 2.
What's the other text box? Text box 1?
Yep. Box 2.
So that's the one. This is the
phone. Box 2 is where you're going to put the name.
And that's actually good. This is phone one load. We haven't got to it. That means when the phone is loaded, so it would take all the text boxes. Nothing.
That's why I get confused.
We can't name the colors because we'll work just fine. But in fact, this is the thing that should be in all of it. So now, take that and you can put the name.
Yeah.
And wipe out the load.
Or do that one? So you should only have the one side, which is the button.
Okay.
So when you click the button.
Okay. So you just have to be sure that it's the click of it, that you double click on the button to get there. If you double click anywhere on the form, you get the load event. And the load event is an event that means when the form is loaded. So be sure when you're over looking at the code that it says underscore click. Okay, because underscore click is the click on the button. And that's what you wanted to go with.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
What's weird?
Because she was typing the button code into the text box, so I cleared it out and it just the entire system went into an error.
Oh,
goodness.
Yeah, we just ran into that with him back then. I don't know why, but you've got all the class. Okay, so we don't want any of these things. We don't. This is a text change, so you don't want that.
Get rid of all this.
Why don't you just get rid of everything except public and end? Okay, and then we'll try to figure it out. So just hit the link. Okay, so now let's go back to the form.
Just capture.
And basically say ignore and continue. And we hope that takes us a little further. Okay? So now, did you have stuff on the form before? Okay, so it's been wiped out. So now you're going to unfortunately have to put stuff back on the form. Yeah, I've got to play around with that error because that error is kind of nasty.
Yeah.
This guy and this is that color. Background image.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'll try
it out. Yeah.
Okay,
good.
I was wondering why.
Now the toolbox is stay open.
Oh, alright. So if I okay. Shoot text box first, right? Just
text box.
I'm okay with that.
And then.
We'll just keep it named text box. Oh, that's text box. That's a draw a button.
Okay. And then I want to do a button. Right here.
Worry about changing the names after.
Okay.
The code to work first. All right. And then now we need one more thing. So now, click on the button.
It's not going to let you
edit. All right.
So now, when the button gets close, this is the code that's going to activate. So you can type text box 4. So you want it.
TXT.
We didn't rename it, so it's going to show up. Box 4.
Four.txt.txt
equals.
Yeah.
Parentheses. Oh, no, sorry. It's quotation. Hello, or whatever you want to say. Because when you type in quotation mark, I think one of that's a.
It's print, whatever.
That is
in the.
And then, all right, percent. And then text box 3. Like I said, we didn't rename anything.
Okay.
So that's why you're typing like this. You know, you can do box 1, box 2, whatever you
change
want to name.
Change the names.
Everyone names it.
enter.
I would say so, but I'm not sure what happened.
But I mean, for the most part, that should be.
So Windows format.
Yep.
So can I just like, do I have to save this somewhere, or can I just do the text and run it?
You should be able to do the text because I haven't saved mine yet.
Okay, so we have to
like say you want to like collect email, right? Yeah, I figured it had something to do with it. In conjunction with SQL.
So how would I
it's one of those things that my
mind is
going
to have space
and
I changed it what do I need to do to make space between the names?
And can they do that?
Just hit enter space or anything just to get out of the
Yeah.
We were actually just talking about the other course that I don't know where he was wondering if how far we get in that course as far as
what's your tab index?
Why Oracle? I've heard a lot of horror stories.
Let's just see how this goes. And I'll press. Something to do with the way it's cut.
That's
true. Text result dot text equals.
You might have named it wrong. You might have named it wrong. Wish I had one.
Okay, how are we doing? Has everybody got something that's working?
They do have models that I can't save in Flash.
Okay, when you're done with something, you can click the. Okay, my turn. You can click the X here, or you can click this red dime square up there. And that will tell you that you're done. You also can put a button on there that will tell you if you're done, which is probably the way to go, is to put on a button that you click on to tell you that you're done. Okay, so I click on this, and it is over. Okay, so then I want to save. I'm going to just do a save all, which means I'm saving everything. So files, save all, and I am saving it all. Now, if you have a situation where you were not able to browse because you have the Express version, and so you weren't able to browse to tell it where to save it, I always save as soon as I go in. So as soon as I get into here, I save, nothing on the form, nothing anything. I save so that I can pick my location that I want to save it in. Okay? If you want to change location, you basically want to take and make a copy of the entire folder. You don't want to go inside and start messing with it because there's footprints all over the place of where it has said that this is where it's being saved. And so if you want to move things, you want to move the entire folder. Okay? So when you send it to me, you are going to zip up the folder and send me the folder. I'm going to unzip the folder and run. Okay? Okay, so I'm now going to close solution. And I'm going to do a file open project. Now, before I do that, let me go back. And there are a lot of examples under here. Okay, so I guess I'm going to go into paycalc.zip because that seems to be the first example that I have listed here. So I've got the folders all listed. You can unzip them. If you have nothing better to do this weekend, you can unzip a bunch of those and put them on a flash drive so that when I run them in here, you've got them ready to run. Okay? But paycalc.zip would be one that you can we can unzip now. And once you get it unzipped, you can run it. And I already did that, so I'm going to say open project, and I'm going to go to one of my drives. And I've got VB10 examples, and I've got PayCalc. Okay? So I'm going to just open it like that. But you can unzip it. If you have a flash drive, you can unzip it and save it on the flash drive. If you don't, you can unzip it and save it on the T drive. Okay?
When you browse into the PayCalc folder, and you have like three, there's a file folder, and there's a couple of other, it's the SLN file.
Yep. Okay, so once you get it unzipped, it's the SLN that you're going to click on. The VB is targeting .NET framework, which is not... I did not have this problem at all at home. Change the target. Sure, why not? We'll try that. I did the change, though. Are you getting that same message?
Mine's open.
Did you get it open, Tim? Because you sounded like you did. Okay, when I got that message, I just did the change, though. So that it would.
Good.
Did you get any
messages
like I did?
No, I just opened it.
Sorry. Yeah. All don't know why I got the message and you guys didn't. Did anybody else get a message?
Nope.
Just didn't like me, okay.
Same, I'm available. Zero for my time.
Did you open it like in the burger?
I downloaded it.
So clearly we can use your just and you can use the
It's always
visual
based.
Questions?
Yeah.
I've got, well, it's just my program. I was wondering if you could look at it really quick.
See what I did wrong.
Because I can't seem to get into the
Yeah.
So what I did was, Tech Resolve is the name of text names here.
Yep.
This is in red.
Okay, good.
So I don't know if that'll make
sense. No, just go and click on it,
right? So yeah, so it's text. Yeah, okay.
Wait a minute, you've got label declare click. Go back to the phone.
Sure.
What is this called?
Button red.
Okay, it should be button red. Double click on button and go back.
Yeah.
Double click on that.
That's
what you want, that code. So take that code, button red click. You've got it in label declare.
That's where I got it wrong. Okay.
Yeah. And then you can take out all those extra private subs.
Take them out?
Yeah, just erase them.
So.
Starting there, or
there. I don't even know.
There,
I don't know
there.
Where.
Just wipe them out.
Click it.
So it's all right.
Is that awesome? Yeah. It's always true for you. Does it click it up for the form?
There we go.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome. Yeah, watch it when you go over that you are getting the right event. Okay? Notice I've got four buttons here. Okay? And if I look at my list, those are the button names. Button calc, button clear, button close.
I'm sorry.
And there must be one other. When I double click on these, it brings up, and you want to be very careful, the name of the button under store click. That's where you want to put the code, is the name of the button underscore click. If you put in the code into the name of something else or into another event other than click, you're not going to get it to do what you wanted to do when you click on the button. Okay, and quite a few of you ran into that. If you click anywhere on the form, if you just click on the form, it makes a load event. So if I come back here and I just click on a blank place on the form, it makes the load event. Okay, so it's real easy. If you click on a blank place in the form, I just made the load event associated with that form.
Hmm.
Okay. And we'll talk about load events, but load events are essentially something you want to do when you're just getting started. If you want to set something or whatever before when you're just getting started, that's the load event. Okay, so I have now gotten a form, and I've set it up, and I've got four different boxes, hours worth, pay per hour, gross pay. And I made a series of different buttons. Okay? So, if I now run this, and I'm going to put in here, John worked 40 hours, and makes $40. Okay, and then I said calculate gross pay, and it comes up with $1,600. Then if I do the other calculate, it makes the $1,600, but it formats it as money.
Hmm.
If I clear, it clears out all the boxes. And if I close, it closes it. Okay, so I've got a bunch of different boxes, buttons. If I double click on these buttons, these are what they have. Okay, first, I also should mention, I put this up just to show you, I don't leave around private and ones, combinations that don't have anything in them. So a lot of you, when I looked over your shoulder, you had like five things that you clicked on, a variety of things. Get rid of them. If they don't have anything inside, they're worthless, and they're also confusing. So it's not that they're going to hurt anything, because you haven't told them to do anything. But it's a cleanup process. Just clean them up. Okay, so the close is me close. Me meaning the name of the form, the form itself, the project, close it. The clear is each of the text boxes dot clear. And it's the clear function. And functions are written with two parentheses after them. So it is dot do the clear function. Now, the clear function is something that Microsoft has for you. So I want to do the clear function on each of those boxes. So writing dot clear will do the clear function. Okay. Now, up here on button, the first button, calc, I did what we've been doing. I said text gross pay equals... And then I said text pay per hour times, and you can't read it up there very well, but that is an asterisk for times, times text hours worked, not text. So it took what was ever in those text boxes and multiplied them together and put them in the answer. So I put in 40 and 40, and it came up with 1600. Now on the other calculate button, I threw in a few extra things. First of all, I defined a group of variables. I defined some variables. Okay, so I defined some memory variables. And those variables are called work pay per hour, work hours worked, work gross. I frequently put the WK in front of variables, meaning they're a work area, and that just reminds me with the name that these are not something on the form, they're a work area. Okay, you could put VAR in front of them, you could put a number of things in front of them. I just prefer WK. So when I define a variable, I put WK in front of a name. So I said, okay, work pay per hour as double. Double means it is a number that can have decimals and can be fairly large. Then I said work hours worked and work gross pay. Did I need to define them? Absolutely not. But I just wanted to show how to do that. So I defined those. So those set up three memory variables. Then I said, okay, now take what is in the text box. Now this is kind of interesting. What is in the text box is text. It doesn't break it down as a number. If it's got numbers in it, it's text. But it's fairly flexible, so that when I tell it to do a multiply with these text boxes, it has numbers in it. It's smart enough to figure out that I want to multiply numbers, and so it does it right. Other times, when I am working with those, I have to convince it of what type is there. So I want to just move it someplace, and I want to make sure it's a number. So convert to double. CDBL means convert to double. And that's a function. So the thing I want to convert is inside parentheses. So I'm saying convert to double and store it here. Convert to double, store it here. Now do the multiply. Okay? It was a lot easier the first time. But anyway, so now do the multiply and store it in work gross pay. and now take work gross pay and convert it to string C, which means convert it to currency. Currency is throwing in dollar signs, commas, all that good stuff, so it's no longer a number, okay, because it's got a lot of special characters in it. So I said two string C for currency, so it takes the gross pay, makes it into currency, and puts it into that box, text gross pay. So that's why we saw dollar sign 1600. Okay, so if I run this, and I frequently like to run it with the code open so that I can see the code that is making the stuff happen, okay, rather than go back and forth. So this is what I will usually do. Okay, so Susan worked 40 hours and we'll give her $50. So if I do calculate, it's 2,000. And if I do calculate here, I get the 2,000 with the dollar sign and the comma. Hmm. Yeah.
Is there any way to just automatically put the dollar sign in there without being calculated?
I guess you could concatenate it. Hmm. But usually you just convert it over to currency. And I didn't have to go through all that making variables and doing everything there. I just did that because I wanted to show how to make a variable and how to convert. So I did a little bit of overkill there. I'm trying to think of... I'm not sure there's a real easy way to do it, but I'll think about that. Questions? All righty, we're done. I would work on trying to get VB installed this weekend and playing with something. I've given you a list of things that I would like you to play with. If you go back to the assignment, I said, use labels, text boxes, and buttons. Have at least one button to process, one to clear, and one to end, which is what we just looked at. Do a couple of calculations. Format the form. Define and use a variable. And include something else from the book or from something else. Watch Ann. If you took CIS 120, you ran into an add problem with JavaScript. Yes, no, maybe? Huh? The add concatenates if you don't convert it. So take the add, take the things you want to add and convert them to numbers before you do an add, because you're going to run into problems. And if you look at my examples, I think probably one of those calculates does it. And there's some in there too, yeah. So just watch the ad.
I've got Visual Studio 10 on this. Is that going to be fine for a while or until we get...
Yeah, as long as you're working with the 12 here, that's fine.
Until I get the DreamSpark password.
In all honesty, I'm going to do most of my work in 10 because 10's on my favorite computer.
I mean, as soon as I get the DreamSpark password, I plan on updating it.
Okay. No, that's fine. It's fine.